Okay, first I'll say it's Monday, and it's a Shchedish Aleph Adar. It's very Shchedish Adar. Mishenich Mas Adar Marim Besimcha. And the Rebbe's into this. The Rebbe's really, really into this. The idea that the Inyan of Adar begins with a Shchedish, right? Even though Purim is called Yemei HaPurim, the days of Purim, and the Yemei HaPurim are limited. Directly, it's the 14th and the 15th days in Adar. Indirectly, it's the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. Like it says in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Masechet Megillah, that there's 5 days associated with Purim. But the Rebbe brings that the whole Adar, beginning with Rosh Chodesh, and even after Purim, is connected to the Inyan of Adar, Inyan of Simcha. And of course, there's a couple of factors when it comes to this, as the Rebbe spoke about a lot, and one of them is the Borim Mazle. Mazel Adar is the mazel of Yidden in a way that is healthy, right? Every Chedesh has a mazel, and that's a long, complicated story how you reconcile mazel with Ashgacha Pratis and free will and prayer. The Rebbe spoke about it 25 years ago, Tavshin Nun Beis, which is 25 years this year. Pashas Tetzav, I think, Zayin Adar. The Rebbe spoke about this question of mazel versus no mazel, and he connected it to Moshe Rabbeinu, whose birthday and yahrzeit is Zayin Adar, and he, of course, is the beginning of all the Jewish people, and so on and so forth, because he's the Nasi of all the Nasiim, and so on. But the Rebbe says, basically, that the whole of Adar is a good time for Yidden, it's good mazel for Yidden, which means to say, like the Gemara says, if you have a din Torah, if you have to go to judgment or court with a non-Jew, do it in Adar. If you have to go to a court with a non-Jew, do it in other. Don't do it in Av and do it in other because it's a good mazel. So the Rebbe shall have my yeder in a good mazel, but even in a nigla. And of course, in addition, there's the mishnich nasadam av besimcha. And what's interesting about it is that where do we learn mishnich nas adam mamar besimcha? From Tainis. Mishnich nas av mematin besimcha. When Av comes, you diminish in simcha. That's what the Mishnah says. And we learn from this, in other words, the continuation of that is Mishnich Nas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. So of course the Rebbe right away gets to the heart of the matter. When you say Marbin Adin Simcha at a particular time, and you say Mematin B'Simcha, diminish in Simcha, at a different time, what have you said immediately? Simcha has to be always. The question is only how much. Stays the whole year, there has to be Simcha. In Av, you make it a little less. And in Adar, you make it a lot more. But Simcha is a katz. That's how the Rebbe reads the Gemara, the Mishnah, whatever it is, the Maimon Chazal. So it's a time for Simcha. Simcha, we know what Simcha is. We know how Simcha serves us. We know how Simcha eludes us. Simcha is in our best interest, and yet it's not so easy. So Zama Yedin and Gring, the Ibishah can make it easy and make it Freilach. And we should also appreciate the idea that it's a special time. It's a time of good mazel. And it should be B'tei V'Nirav Nikla. Every Yid should have Kol Tov. And the we have the gula. We should have the gula of the Mashiach. And how do I say this? We should never stop waiting for him. We should never stop expecting him. We should never stop needing him. And never stop knowing that this is it. We're the daughter of the gula, like the Rebbe said so many years ago. Now we're learning a maimed, because I wasn't here Friday and Sunday. Ve'elah Mishpatim from Tavshin Amav 1981. Now, I learned this maimer when it came out 25 years ago. I learned this maimer this morning again. And shall I say I understand it better than it said 25 years ago? I don't remember. I don't remember how I understood it 25 years ago. I just remember thinking, wow, this is pretty organized. The maimer is 10 pages long. The unedited version is half the size. It's from Agvar Takvar. Rabbi Elkan really built this maimer up. According to our plan, it's going to take us 3 mornings to learn this. Maimon today, tomorrow, and Thursday. That's the plan. But of course, plans are made to be broken. As we know from the last few days, plans are made to be broken. It's significant, I think. This is the second to the last maimon that I've edited. The one after this, which we're going to learn Friday, is V'yata Tetzave. The maimon V'yata Tetzave, which we learn every year, Gimel Tammuz, is the next Maimed in the same year, Tavshin Mamav, 1981. This was Pashat Shkolim. And the next week was V'yata Tetzave. The Rebbe edited both of those Maimonim. This came out for Chav Beis Shvat in 1992, Tavshin Nun Beis. And V'yata Tetzave came out for Purim Katan, which is 3 weeks later. in the middle of Adar, a couple of weeks before the stroke, Le'aleinu, Le'ato. So we're going to learn this Maim of Eila Mishpatim. The first thing I want to say about this Maimed is this. 2 days ago was Shabbos, Pashas Mishpatim. 25 years ago, Pashas Mishpatim, the Rebbe said a very, very important Fabrengen. We've talked about this Fabrengen many, many times. And if you can remember the events that revolved around that Fabrengen, the events were that it was, if you remember, December 31st, 1991, which was sometime in Shvat, I suppose, or Tevis, the Soviet Union was officially disunified. It split into 50 republics. The summer before, in 1991, remember this, there was the coup where they tried to overthrow Gorbachev, and the people stood up to their government, and the government was out of power. The soldiers, the army, would not fight for them and kill their own. And as soon as Gorbachev came back to Moscow, this is, I guess it's August 1991, he announced he's going to make a referendum that was being pushed by Yeltsin and by others for a very long time. And the referendum would be about the dissolution of the Union. In other words, the vote was on to dissolve the Union. The United Soviet Socialist Republics was 15 countries joined together artificially by the strong arm of Stalin and his successors, and other people would choose whether to keep the Union together or to dissolve the Union. This did not affect directly what kinds of governments they would have, but the people get to choose. In other words, they would get to pick, to vote. And then, of course, would become the question, do you want a capitalist country, a socialist, a communist country, and so on and so forth. So there was a vote, there was a referendum, and people voted, and it was decided to dissolve the Union. Finished. So one massive country that expanded 11 time zones, which is almost a half a globe, became 15 countries. And in the last 25 years, a lot of things have happened in those 15 countries. Some of them have come closer to the West. Some of them are... There's people who claim that the Soviet Union still exists. I don't buy that, but that's just me. Maybe I'm dumb. But I think everybody's dumb. It's just a question of what dumbness you choose to follow. The only way to know what's really going on is to be God. And last time I checked, none of us are. And it is out, finished. So they even separate Russia from Ukraine, which is a new thing, because even before the Soviet Union was unified, Russia and the Ukraine was one country. It was a big deal. So the then president of the Russian Federation, that means not the whole of the Soviet Union, but of Russia, came to see George Bush. It was a month or two after this dissolution had taken place. Gorbachev lost his job as the prime minister of the Soviet, as the head of the Politburo, which was overseeing the entire Union of the Soviet Socialist Republics. And he was succeeded by Boris Yeltsin, because Boris Yeltsin was, I'm not going to say he was the smartest guy in the world, but he certainly stood up to the tradition, and he spoke out against the suppression in Russia, and he was voted as the first president. And they met Dafke in New York. And the discussion was literally, it was 2 months after the Soviet Union dissolved, and he came to meet George Bush, the father. There's George H. and there's George W. I don't know which is which. George H., I think, is the father. And the discussion was about disarmament. The kitis v'chabaisim le'itim, to not only to end the arms race, the nuclear build-up, but to actually dismantle many of the missiles that were created to destroy the world, the nuclear weapons. And they met in New York. And the Rebbe made a whole Fabrengen about this event. A whole Fabrengen. It was the Fabrengen of Mishpatim Tov Shnei Beis. I'll never forget the Fabrengen. It was an incredible Fabrengen. I was there, Shas Maisa, obviously. And one of the little details that I love to repeat, because you don't see it in the edited Sichas, was that in that entire Fabrengen, every time the Rebbe referred to America, he referred to America as Chassidei Yom Ha'Elul, as righteous Gentiles. In the Sicha, as it's edited, it's corrected, it's changed to say Malchus Shel Chesed, a nation of unbelievable kindness. But Shasmai said that Rebbe referred to American Goyim as Chassidim Salim, as righteous Gentiles, which is incredible. And he didn't say it once or twice, he probably said it a dozen times. A half a dozen for sure. And at the time, I remember standing at the Fabrengen looking at each other, and the Rebbe was paskening that American Goyim, that means they were keeping the Sheva Mitzvot Nenech, that's Chassidim Salim. Anyway, the whole Fabrengen rallied around this disarmament, and the Rebbe referred to this as the activities of Mashiach himself. This event of this armament is not a symptom that Mashiach is coming, it's already Mashiach's activities. And there's two things that I want to share with you now. The first is the Sikha, and the second how it relates to this Maimed. The spirit of the Sikha was that we look at this armament as logical. We look at the idea of people not killing each other as completely reasonable, and how people who make war don't make any sense. It's not logical, and so on and so forth. And the Rebbe said, if it was true that making war is such a terrible thing, doesn't make any sense, how come the history is full of war? So the Rebbe made the point that the idea that nations should stop killing each other, that people should stop killing each other, comes from Hashem. It doesn't come from the human mind. It's one of those things that comes from Hashem that the human mind can also understand. But really it comes from the Eibishter. What's the proof? The proof is, this idea has been existent for all these years, and it was only now that people decided, you know, maybe it's a good idea, we should take the technology and the money that's invested in weapons and use them for agriculture. The Rebbe said, the Goyim haven't gotten smarter all of a sudden. That's not what happened. It's the pshat that the world has changed. In other words, the sudden redirection of non-Jews. No, I'm good. I'm fine. Thank you. The sudden redirection of the world towards chesed v'yeshu, towards goodness and kindness. In Hebrew, the Rebbe said chesed v'yeshu, which means kindness and fairness. But in English, the Rebbe said goodness and kindness is not an evolution of humankind. It's an expression of the Eibishter, so to speak, taking over his world. It's a simon of Mashiach. That's how the Rebbe defined it. The world going towards goodness and kindness. And then a whole Fabrengen revolved around that theme. So I'm sharing this first. I would have been here Friday. We'd have had this conversation on Friday when it was appropriate. But I wasn't here on Friday, so I'm sharing it with you today. Now, I learned this Maimed. 25 years came out. I remember learning it. I remember enjoying it particularly. And in preparing this Maimed, it hit me that this Maimed is very, very similar to what the Rebbe said at the Fabrengen. This Maimed came out for the Rebbe in the Yortzeit, Chobei Shvat, which was probably before, for sure, it was before Shabbos, because Mishpatim that year was Chazayin Oder, Chazayin Shvat. So for that Monday, Chobei Shvat, the Rebbe gave out this Maimed. And 5 days later, you had the Sikha that Rebbe spoke Shabbos. And there's an enormous parallel between the Maimed from 1981, Lashem Malet, and the Sikha that the Rebbe would speak Shabbos, Tovshin and Beis, 1992. And I'm looking at the Maimed, and I'm recalling the Fabrengen, and I'm thinking how coordinated everything is. You know, the Rebbe used to say about the Friedrich Rebbe, that every single thing that happens in his life is Bashgocha Pratis, but it's a revealed Hashgocha. You know, we believe that everything is Bashgocha Pratis. But you can't always understand it. Everything in life makes sense. A lot of things don't make sense. But in the life of a tzaddik, because a tzaddik is so godly and so holy, or I should say so holy and is actually godly, so by him, not only is everything bashgocha, everything is begilui. Which means, however things happen by a Rebbe, you can explain, you can see the preciseness of it. The best example for this is this Maimon V'Ata Tetzave, which we're going to be doing Friday, Mitzvah Hashem, and I have a surprise for you for Friday, which I'll save till then. That officially the Rebbe gave the Maimed out for an occasion like any other. As it turns out, this is the Maimed which we learn every year, Gimel Tammuz. This is the Maimed of Gimel Tammuz. And the entire Maimed is about Moshe Rabbeinu, about Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Munna. At the time the Rebbe gave out the Maimed, he actually wrote on a note, which he never did before, that he hopes people will learn the Maimed and it will affect them as it should. And all these years later, we understand the significance of this note. Which means to say, even though the Maimed was chosen by a man, who chose which Maimed to send into the Rebbe? Rabbi Yael? They didn't ask the Rebbe what maimed to prepare. Rabbi Yael Kahn decided what maimed he wanted to prepare. He would spend hours and hours and hours preparing it. He would send it into the Rebbe would edit it, and the maimed came out as a new maimed. But as much as Rabbi Yael thought he was in charge, the Rebbe was in his head. You understand? That's how these things work. A chassid prepares a maimed for the Rebbe to edit. It's what the Rebbe wants. So you look at this maimed, and you think of the Fabringen of the Shabbos that came after it. Mishpatim, and you see how the maimed that the Rebbe gave us 5 days before Shabbos, and the spirit of what the Rebbe would say Shabbos, are very, very much aligned. Which means that what I need to do now is go into the Sikha of Mishpatim. That's what I want to do now. Okay, we're going to learn some of the maimed this morning. I pledge. I have a plan. Okay? I hope the clock agrees with my plan, but I have a plan. Blineder. In Tavshin and Beis, Parshas Mishpatim, going back now to the Sikha again, the Rebbe took an old idea, an old theme, a classic theme, and added a new aspect to it. Okay? Now, as far as I'm concerned, the old theme is also not from the Alter Rebbe. It's the Rebbe's. It's the Rebbe's, the Eilah Mishpatim, Mashatasim Lufneim. But the Rebbe added a new aspect to the Eilah Mishpatim, Mashatasim Lufneim. So let me first tell you what is the old theme, and then I'll tell you what the new aspect is. The old theme of the Eilah Mishpatim, Mashatasim Lufneim is this. That there's a Vav. Ve'eila pachas mishpat begins with a vav. Ve'eila mishpat mashdas mufneim. So it says in Chazal, I think Rashi says it also. Vav ma'isav al rishonim. Whenever you have a parsha that begins with a vav, it connects the parsha to the previous parsha. So ve'eila mishpatim joins mishpatim to Yisrael. What's the message? So that Chazal say ma'har rishonim misinai af elu misinai. Just like the earlier mitzvahs came from Hashem at Sinai, these mitzvahs also came from Hashem Sinai. That's how you read the Vav. How does the Rebbe explain it? So the Rebbe explains it with the classic idea that we know that there's three kinds of mitzvahs. There's mitzvahs that make sense and mitzvahs that don't make sense. The mitzvahs that make sense are called mishpatim. The mitzvahs that don't make sense are called chukim. In between those two, or above those two, there's a third category which are called edus, which we're leaving out of the conversation. So Hashem came down on the mountain and gave us mitzvahs. That's God. Mishpatim means mitzvahs that we can understand by ourselves. Logical mitzvahs, down-to-earth mitzvahs. Goyim have the same laws almost when it comes to mishpatim. Business and damages and divisions of property and so on. So the Torah says we should know Mari Shoinim Isin. This is the mitzvahs in Pashas Yisrei. Come from God. Which means to say they're higher than human understanding. Af Elu Misina, you should know the mitzvahs in Pashas Mishpatim also come from Hashem. So there's the classic language. In the Welt, they say, before Chassidus, they say that you should do chukim like mishpatim. A mitzvah you understand, you enjoy doing. A mitzvah you don't understand, you don't enjoy doing. So the Torah says that you should do the mitzvahs you don't understand with the same delight as the mitzvahs that you do understand. That's the pre-Chassidic approach. A mitzvah that you understand appeals to you. A mitzvah that you don't understand doesn't appeal to you. So the Torah is joining the mitzvahs together, that just like a mitzvah which you do understand, you have a special geschmack. A mitzvah that you don't understand, you should have a similar geschmack. Comes again, the Rebbe turns it on its head, exactly the opposite. Just like a mitzvah that you don't understand, you do only because the Yehishta said, a mitzvah that you do understand, you should also do only because the Yehishta said. Exactly the opposite. Not you should do chukim like mishpatim, but mishpatim like chukim. That a mitzvah that you understand you shouldn't do because it makes sense, but because it comes from the Eibishter, because the Eibishter gave it to us. L'may l'min ha'seich. And that's the Vav. There's Rishayna Misina and Eilu Misina. Just like the mitzvahs in the Aseres HaDibris are beyond our understanding, the mitzvahs here are also beyond our understanding. We don't do mitzvahs because they make sense. We do mitzvahs because the Eibishter gave it to us. And of course, the Rebbe has his standard insight on this, that the Rebbe used to give the example from the Nazis, that when you do something only because it makes sense, you can use the same logic to come up with the most perverse ideas. The human mind doesn't have a conscience. The seichel doesn't have a right and a wrong. The seichel has a true and a false. So you can use your brain to twist things any way you wish. And therefore, when you're doing a mitzvah because it makes sense, it can make sense to protect dogs and to kill people in the same breath. So therefore, mitzvahs be from Eibishter. Ma'arishayne misina, the mitzvahs of chukum, we don't understand. We do them because the Eivishter said. Af elu misina, the mishpatim, which we do understand, we do only because the Eivishter said. This is the standard, this is the classic, this is the traditional understanding of the Veila, mishpatim, mashatasim, his name. That was clear, yes? It was clear. What did the Rebbe add in and base 25 years ago, this past Friday, this past Shabbos? Pardon me. He added a moidin de kegedank. The Rebbe said like this. The truth of the matter is, the whole Torah, every word of it, is beyond human comprehension. Period. Not a single solitary word of the Torah is understood by a human being. You know why? It's the will, it's the ain't safe will of God. And he gave us this ain't safe will of God. As it is, we have mitzvahs. We know what we have to do. The Eibishter gave us another gift. What is that gift? That some of the aspects of Torah and mitzvahs, which are part of his infinite will, which are beyond human comprehension, should also come down to the level where a person can understand them. In other words, ostensibly, not one word of Torah makes any sense. It's beyond the human mind. Part of the gift is that a certain percentage, a certain section of the Torah that the Eibishter gave us has also come down to a level where a human being can understand it. So it's actually backwards. It's not like we understand the mitzvahs, but we have to do them on a level which is higher than reason. We have to know that mitzvahs essentially are beyond reason. And that some of them come down to the level we are also able to understand them. And the Rebbe explained this historically, that when a goy or goyim realize that it's time to stop killing each other, it's not because they've gotten smarter, but because the world and God are becoming more one. So what was earlier above the human mind descends into the human mind. So this is, like I said, a new commentary on an old theme. The old theme was that mishpatim have to be done like chukim. Mitzvahs, you understand, you should do also higher than your understanding. And the new theme is, you really shouldn't understand any of it. Just like you don't understand shatnez and Shabbos, you shouldn't understand murder and theft. The Eibishter, part of the gift that the Eibishter gave us, is that some of these mitzvahs come down to a level of understanding. So now something fascinating emerges, and now we go from the sicha to our maimed. What emerges is, there's an interface between reason and ein seif. There's an interface between seichel and higher than seichel, and ein seif. Now, in the human experience, as a person, what represents ein seif and what represents reason? In the human experience, what would represent ein seif and what would represent reason? The answer is, ein seif would be either Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, or Kabbalah Seil, submission. Whatever God wants, I want. I don't have to understand, I don't have to agree. It's Ein Seif. The Ein Seif in a person is to put aside his ego. Understanding would be associated with what the Rebbe calls Nisman, your Metzias, your form, your identity, your ego, your mind, your heart, your... What the Rebbe is going to call Nisman, your pleasure, things that delight you, things of your pleasure. So there's an interface between Ein Seif and reason. In the interface between Ein Seif and reason, there's two possibilities. The first possibility, when Ein Seif and reason interface, is that reason covers the Ein Seif. When things start making sense, you forget that it came from God. You understand. The minute you understand, you don't need the Eibishter. The fact that you really shouldn't understand, you'll long forget. It's the minute it makes sense to you, you forget about God. That's why the smarter a person is, the harder it is to have faith. Why? He doesn't need it. He understands. So when reason and interface, when Ein Sof and reason interface, the reason could cover up the Ein Seif. There's another possibility. And the other possibility is that when reason and Ein Seif interface, the reason reveals the Ein Seif on a lower level. It is a fusion. That your mind, your seichel, is able to reveal Ein Seif. That's what this maimed is about. This maimed is exploring Torah and mitzvahs. Okay? You have the whole maimed. So, on page Kuf Dalet, I wrote the word Torah. And on top of page Kuf Tes, I wrote the word mitzvahs. This maimed is in order. It's organized, more or less. Not entirely, but more or less. And that's how we're going to learn it. Today we're going to learn a page and a half. Then tomorrow we're going to learn Torah. And then Thursday we're going to learn mitzvahs. Same idea in both cases. When it comes to Torah, the Rebbe is going to say the interface in Torah is between Ein Sof and reason. The idea of Torah is beyond human understanding, and it comes down into human understanding. And when they join together, you don't want the human understanding to become a cover over the Ein Sof, but you want to become an enhancer or a conduit or a chariot to bring the Ein Sof also to the level of reason, where your mind holds within itself Ein Sof. That's what the Maimed is going to attempt to describe. And the second half of the Maimed is going to talk about mitzvahs. That when it comes to mitzvahs, there is an interface between Ein Sof and reason, and you don't want the reason to cover over the Ein Sof. You want the reason to reveal the Ein Sof, which means there's mitzvahs you do with pleasure, and there's mitzvahs you do because you have to. The mitzvahs that you do because you have to touch the Ein Sof, the mitzvahs you do with pleasure have to do with your ego, but you don't want your ego to cover over the Ein Sof, to cover over the Avdus, the Kabbalah sale, but you actually want it to reveal it. Okay, and that's this Maimed. This Maimed, like I said, we're learning today an introduction. I've given you quite a bit of introduction already. We're going to learn a little piece of the Maimed inside. The Maimed is divided into two parts. The first half, the first four pages or so, after the introduction, are going to deal with Torah. And the second half, the last four pages, are going to deal with mitzvahs. And in both cases, the issue on the table is that when reason joins with Ein Sof, the reason shouldn't cover over the Ein Sof. It should reveal it. And that's a Jaila Mishpatim Ashutas Mafneim. That the Mishpat, which is the logical mitzvah, has to carry Ein Sof, not cover over Ein Sof. As you'll see in Mitzvah Hashem in the subsequent two classes. What I want to do right now is show you in one paragraph this Maimed in summary. And it's on page Kuf Test. I put it in a little box. Okay? Now this box that I created for you at the top of page Kuf Tes is the axis of the Maimed. It's the elbow. It's the ball and socket of this Maimed. It's the point at which you shift. Until this point, the Rebbe was talking about Torah. From this point, the Rebbe is talking about mitzvahs. And in these few lines, the Rebbe talks about how Torah has both aspects, Ein Sof and reason. And mitzvahs have both aspects, Ein Sof and reason, but he points out the difference. So read just the box. Al yedei hachibur deshnei ha'ofchim. The parsha begins by joining together the two opposites of mitzius ubitl. Mitzius means your form, your ego, which means your understanding and your pleasure, on the one hand, with bitl, with higher than reason, with Ein Sof. Shabalimu da Teda, in the study of Teda, Nimshach al derech ze gam b'maisa ha-mitzvah, that later comes down into your performance of mitzvahs. See, what the Rebbe says is that Pashas Mishpatim is a bunch of mitzvahs. A bunch of mitzvahs. Except for the first pasuk. The first pasuk is his instructions how to learn Teda. So the Rebbe says, why does the Pasha have one pasuk on learning Teda and then a whole Pasha on doing mitzvahs? Because the one pasuk on learning Torah sets up the whole parsha of mitzvahs. How? Because in that first pasuk, Ve'eila Mishpatim Ashtasim Afneim Kitik Ne'eved Ivri, in those few words, you have the fusion I described. Ein Sof, which shows itself in a person that is Mesiras Nefesh and its submission, his servitude, and your form, your ego, your understanding, and your pleasure. So in the first pasuk, the Pasha, the Eibish, that's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu about communicating to the Jewish people this interface. You're supposed to use your mind, which means you're supposed to use your ego, but it's supposed to be a vehicle for Ein Sof, not a concealment of the Ein Sof. And then the rest of the Pasha talks about mitzvahs. That a mitzvah is the same thing, but backwards. Why? Because mitzvahs basically are done with Kabbalah Seir. Mitzvah, what are you supposed to do? So the Torah says, just like in Torah, there's two opposites, and mitzvahs is also two opposites. Now keep reading. Ella, the difference is as follows. Shebelim without Torah, I circled those words. When it comes to learning Torah, hachidush habitul, the novel aspect of learning Torah is the submission aspect. Which means Obviously, studying Torah intellectually, if it's connected to your intellect, it's connected to your mind, and it's connected to your ego, and it's connected to your delight. So you have a chiddush. In learning Torah, when you approach Torah, what do you think it is? A reasonable book. I'm supposed to understand. That's me. So the Torah says, no, in your learning, there has to be bittul. Says the Rebbe, ubekiyam ha-mitzvahs, and the mitzvah is the same thing, but backwards. Ha-chiddush hu ha-metzias. The thing that's unusual about mitzvahs is that when you do a mitzvah, you shouldn't only do it with Kabbalah, say. You should also delight in it. Why? Da'agam shekiyam ha-mitzvah tzadach li-tzadakiv ha-kadosh baruch. The average person understands the very definition of a mitzvah is God gave me a commandment, and I'm doing it. Bracket can move in gamizeshem mitzvah is loshen tzibui. The very meaning of the word mitzvah is a command. It's an instruction. It's an edict. Do this. B'derech avid is like a slave. Mikomakim. Nevertheless, habitol shaloi. Even when you're doing a mitzvah, the bittol needs to be tzarechliyaz ba'if must be in such a fashion. Shabitol eini shel is mutzah say my nullification or my accepting Ein Seif. That's what it means. Why would a person do what the Eibishter wants if he doesn't understand? Because Hashem is Ein Seif. So in your submission, you're bringing Ein Seif into yourself. How do you bring Ein Seif into yourself? Very simple. Get yourself out of the way. We're finite. We're complex. We're confused. You move yourself aside. There's room for God. That's what Kabbalah Seil is. Says the Rebbe, that's half a story. When you do a mitzvah, you get yourself out of the way. Says that Rebbe, Allah adrazeh gufa hu. I circled the word hu, mitzvah you say. That becomes your identity. Hainu translates the Rebbe, zezeh shu adesh ala kodesh baruch hu. Inasmuch as we're servants of the Eibishter, it should not be laid ak mitzah de hechaz. It shouldn't just be forced. Alohu reitzelis adesh ala kodesh baruch hu. You choose to be Hashem's slaves. V'yesh lechayiz v'tainik. It gives you life and joy. That's this black paragraph right here summarizes the maimed. It's the transmission, it's the central point between Torah and mitzvahs. The first half maimed is Torah, and in Torah the Rebbe says there's two aspects: your understanding, your ego, your pleasure, and the submission to the Yain Seif. But the part of it that's novel is the submission to the Yain Seif. In mitzvahs, which is the second half of the maimed, and there's a very beautiful and unusual and controversial twist in the second half of the Maimon, which we'll get to mitzvah Thursday, but Lee Neder, it's the same thing the other way. Mitzvahs are naturally done with submission, whatever God wants. Says the Rebbe, don't do what God wants, enjoy it. Let the will of God become your delight, not by compromising the Ein Seif, but by joining together the Ein Seif and your Metzias, your form, your mind, your ego, and your delight. That's this Maimon. Okay? So, I gave you, I think, three introductions, yeah? First of all, I mentioned Parshas Mishpatim. We were supposed to do this on Friday. I'm sorry, I pushed it, got sick. And everything is my fault. it is. Everything is a person's fault. In the Hillel Parsha, I heard from my man Chutin, the Hillel Parsha did not like a sick person. Why? Because he's busy with his goof. Now, what do you want from him? What do you want from him? It's not his fault. You're right, it's not his fault, but it's still a hell of a hested. Adereber ayatik, if any gizun, this amoyin de kamaisen. If Yiddish Rebbe was not well, he first became an Rebbe, but he was very sick. I had a cold. I couldn't talk. I was sick. I didn't have a cold. I was sick, but I couldn't talk. Technically, I couldn't speak. The Rebbe Rayatz had typhus, which was Yenna Machla in those days. He was near death for 6 or 7 weeks. The Sheikh from Vayeda to Shmeis, they said little chitrik. So there were two Bachim who were Mishamish him, who served him physically, took care of him. And one of them was a Yid by the name of Rav Yitzchak Golden Olav HaShalom, who's a Tamim. And the Rebbe asked him to write up what he remembers from that period. And one of the things he remembers was that at a certain point, the Friedrich Rebbe was so frustrated, he shouted, "Geh avek guf! Go away, body! Geh!" He was trapped in his body, like paralyzed, couldn't move. His mind was the Rebbe, and his guf was a lump of clay. The goof was not listening, and he screamed, "Gei avek goof!" When the person's not well, you feel your goof, you don't feel Yiddish. Anyway, I got carried away with that. Okay, so I gave you Friday's class. This is Parshas Mishpatim. 25 years ago, this Shabbos, the Rebbe said the Sicha about the Chiddush Rabbeinu Yisrael Li'it. that the world is going in the direction of Shed Tzadik V'Yoshed, because we're holding by Mashiach, not because Goy got smart, not because of the United Nations, but because of Mashiach. And he brought out the point that everything the Abish tells us is higher than our understanding. Some of it comes down into our understanding. And I also gave you the second introduction, where I told you the classic idea of Eila Mishpatim, that we do Mishpatim like Chukim rather than Chukim like Mishpatim. And the new idea that Rebbe added to that theme in Nun Beis 25 years ago, that really none of the Torah makes any sense. He does us a favor that some of it comes down to the level of making sense. And then came the third introduction, which is this Ma'amar. You don't want the sense to cover over the will. You don't want the fact that Torah comes down to a level of human understanding to cover over the fact that this is aim safe. And that's this Ma'amar. So now what's going to happen now is very simple. I am going to begin from the beginning. We're going to read the introduction. Okay, first page and a half. And Belina, tomorrow we'll do Torah, 4 pages on Erech, and then on Thursday we'll do Mitzvahs. I hope it works the plan. Okay? Ve'eila mishpatim asher tasim lifneim. These are the mitzvahs that you're supposed to give the Jewish people. Ki tikne eved divri. Now, anybody who knows Hebrew sees that this pasuk does not follow a consistent form. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the Jews, yeah? Which word represents the Jews in this sequence? Lifnehem, to them. That's Lashon Rabbim. What is Ki Sikne? When you will purchase, it's Lashon Yachet. There's another difference. Lifnehem is them in third person, to them. Ki Sikne is second person, when you will purchase. So the Rebbe asks the question. This is a classic question in Chassidus. Lifnehem is Lashon Rabbim, but Lashon Nisr. First of all, it's plural, and second of all, it's third person. And tikne is lashon yachid, lashon necha. Tikne is singular. You should purchase. You will purchase. And it's second person as opposed to third person. It's a clear problem in Hebrew language. And of course, the Tanakh, the Chumash, it has thousands of such discrepancies. Thousands of such discrepancies. And Chassidus analyzes each one and shows you, say this a Torah. Torah's not making no mistakes. When the Torah's grammar breaks down, it's because there's a secret. There's something else that's being said here. And this is one of the classic ideas of Parshas Mishpatim. And by the way, I want you to know that on this pasuk, Ve'ela Mishpatim Lefnei Hashem, there's a Maim Tanach the Rebbe Teireir, which the Rebbe said many times. Many times. And the Rebbe once said about this Maim of Ve'ela Mishpatim from Teireir, he said like this. He said, you're not allowed to say, this piece of Teireir I like better and this piece of Teireir I don't like as much. Now I say that all the Torah is God's wisdom and it's all wonderful. So the Rebbe says, you're not allowed to say one piece of Torah is Gishmaked and other piece is Nesu Gishmak. But this Maimed is very Gishmak. He says, but this Maimed is not based, this is not the standard Elam Mishpatim. This is not based on Alter Rebbe. It's based on a few lines in Samach Tzedek. So it's a different Maimed. There are many Maimonim from the Rebbe of Elam Mishpatim which go on the Torah, the standard Maimed. If I had more time, I would tell you what it says there. Pardon me, but I don't. It's a different Ve'ela Mishpatim. It's not based on the Teira Eid. It's based on the Tzemach Tzedek. But this is the first question. Gam Tzadok Lahavin, the second question. Madi Isra be Yerushalmi. It says in Yerushalmi, and this is a Mamish HaMoydenik HaKasha, Ve'ela Mishpatim HaShe Tosim Lifneim. The Yerushalmi says that the word Tosim goes on Kabbalah and Chassidus, on secrets of Teira. That Tosim is Milashen Sima. In Hebrew, a shin smolas, a sin and a samach are interchanged. So instead of reading it tasim with a sin, read it tasim with a samach, and sima means a treasure. Eitzish, ein a niglas razei teira. Isn't this weird? Parshas Mishpatim is the most elementary level of Teira. Goyim have the same laws as we do, by and large, when it comes to Parshas Mishpatim. Says the Yerushalmi, secrets of Teira. How do you reconcile that the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim is Tosim Lashon Sima Eitzir B'Tzadok Lahav? Says the Rebbe the question. Harei Mishpatim. Remember the name of Shemar Masechel Anush. Mishpatim means mitzvahs that make sense to the human mind. Vafilu Masechel Dom Yisraelom V'Araya Goyim have exactly the same dinim that we do. And it says in footnote 5. That's why you need a special inyan. Don't go to a Goyish court, even though Goy is going to paskin the same way. Ma'u Hashaychas the Mishpatim. How do you reconcile the most logical dimension of Teda with Lashon Sima, which is Razei Teda, the secrets of Teda? That's question 2. Gan Tzorach Lahavin, the third question is, Masha Maschala Mishpatim Bedin Evedivri, why do we begin the Pasha, the first mitzvah in Teda, the laws of Evedivri, of a Jewish slave? Now, Rabbi Yisai, the real question is, instead of beginning with a Jewish slave, it should begin with a non-Jewish slave. Because the whole concept of a slave is Kabbalah Sale. I do it even though I want to. And I'm cheating here. I'm cheating. I'm giving you a preview. By saying a slave, but a Jew, the remez is going to be the ultimate point of the maimon, which I've already told you, which is that it's not one or the other. It's not either a bittel or a seichel. It's the combination. So that Tzemach Tzedek explains. And like I told you before, this maimon is based on this Tzemach Tzedek. The Inyan Eved Ivri Beruchnius, what's a Jewish servant in Ruchnius? Shavedos Yas Hashem Mibedarach Kabbalah Sale. A slave serves Hashem with a discipline, with Aveda Sabbath. Now, of course, as far as slaves are concerned, if you know the Kabbalah, Omer HaIvri is Bria, Eved Ivri is Yetzira, Eved Knani is Asiya. So it kind of should be better, but he uses Dafka Eved Ivri, Kabbalah Sale. Vapiza Yesh Leimah, therefore we understand, there's Eshash Chol Samishpat and Din Eved Ivri. Why does the Tera begin Pashas Mishpatim with the laws of Eved Ivri? Leram is to teach us what I said to you a minute ago. Shagam bekiyum mitzvahs da mishpatim. You're doing a mitzvah, which is a logical mitzvah, and you think they make sense. Shemavana b'seichel sarach l'kayma mitzat kabbalah. So this is the classic. This is the standard. This is the Rebbe's idea that you do a mitzvah that makes sense, like a mitzvah that doesn't make sense, rather than the other way around. Because the Eibush they gave to us. That even though shemizesh and mitzvahs eil and kroim b'teiras emes b'shem mishpatim, these mitzvahs are called logical mitzvahs. They have a reason. I'm skipping till the end of the line. Mikomakam, nevertheless, ikir kiyumam. Even when you do a mitzvah that makes sense, tzarachliyis b'derach kabbalah sale. And of course, the reason is if you're doing a mitzvah because it makes sense, what happens if it makes sense to you tomorrow different? So you squeeze it, you negotiate, you figure it out. You let the Tanya know. Hashem said. Hey, mitzad ha'adam ha'makayim es mitzvah. Both from the perspective of the person, shekiyum a mitzvah tzarach liyiz derech avei desavad. The yidah do a mitzvah, even if it makes sense to him, just because God said. 5 lines from the bottom of page Kuf Gimel. The gam mitzad ha'mitzvahs, even when it comes to the command, as far as Hashem is concerned, kikol ha'mitzvah. Skip the parenthesis. Ikrim hu ratzon ha'kadosh baruch. Even mitzvahs that make sense are really God's will. So both from the human perspective, it's important to have kabbalah sale. And from divine perspective, because you're supposed to have Ein Seif, and the Ein Seif is in the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And the Rebbe says, Ula Haysif, bottom of page, Kuf Gimel, that the Zesha Gam Kiyam HaMitzvahs, the Mishpatim Tzarech Liyaz, V'der HaKabal Sal, the reason, mitzvahs that make sense, you have to do without understanding, because Kigam Be'inyin HaMishpatim Shavhem, even in the aspect of understanding it, you're doing a mitzvah. And on the one hand, you're having Kabbalah Sale. On the other hand, you're understanding. You know why you're understanding? Because Hashem gave you a mitzvah to understand. This is what the Eibishter wants. Top of Kuf Dalad now. So when you're doing a mitzvah that makes sense, first of all, don't do it because it makes sense. Do it because of the will of God. Second of all, try to understand it. Why do you understand it? Because Hashem said you're supposed to understand. Says the Rebbe, V'yashleima, this is the pshat in the pasuk. Ve'eila mishpatim with the vav. Ve'eila meisav al rishenim. Ma'arishenim misina fe'eila misina. Says the Rebbe, because the Eibishter gave us the Torah, 3 lines, top of the page, we became avodim la'kadosh baruch hu. Hashem slaves. So what's the vav? Ve'eila mishpatim? That even when it comes to those mitzvahs that we understand, we have to do them like Sinai with the Kabbalah Sale. 5 lines from the top of page Kuf Dalet V'Lachain, therefore, Hascholos HaMishpatim Abedin Evedivri, the beginning of Mishpatim is a Jewish slave, Kedei L'Ram is to hint, Shagam HaMitzvahs, the Mishpatim, mitzvahs that make sense, have to be approached with Aved HaSavad with the Kabbalah Sale. Sure. Okay, so far simple. I didn't say anything inside that I didn't tell you before. Correct? That there are things we don't understand, the things that we do understand, and the things we do understand, we do them also as if we don't understand them, and even the mitzvah to understand them is because the Eibishter said. Ubiyan Neis, but there's another explanation. I am now 6 lines at the end of the first paragraph of Hitkubda. These 6 lines right here are the Shalom Aleichem to the rest of this minor.
Kiven she'ikir inyan ha'avdis hu be'evet k'naini.
He's asking a question. Everybody knows real servitude is by a non-Jewish slave, not by a Jewish slave. Why? A Jewish slave is only for 6 years. Even if it appears an earring in his ear, it's only till the Jubilee. A non-Jewish slave is forever. There's a special mitzvah not to redeem. You know, you're not allowed. It's a bitl. If you redeem a non-Jewish slave, you're even an esek. If someone, a non-Jew, becomes your slave, you're not allowed to redeem him apidin. Unless you have a mitzvah rabbi, like you have to make a minyan, a pinyan shrim, there's a mishnah and come out about it. But you're not supposed to get rid of a non-Jewish slave is forever. So if you want to give an illustration for Kabbalah, say it, as the opening of Pashas Mishpatim, what should you start with, Jewish slaves or non-Jewish slaves? Non-Jewish slaves. And the pasuk begins with a Jewish slave. Farvos. Look at the last word in the paragraph. Hoye tzorech lecheira la'aschala mishpatim bedin evet k'nani. You should start with a non-Jewish slave and we start with a Jewish slave. Why? And the answer to this why is the next 8 pages. Because it's not an either or. It's both. That the inyanim of Yiddishkeit that we understand have to have Kabbalah Seil. And the inyanim of Yiddishkeit that have Kabbalah Seil, we also have to understand. And we'll discuss this in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow and Thursday. Okay? Welcome to the Maimir.